Time now to return to the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram is here in studio with us. Again, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. You know what's 9 days away? Valentine's Day. Don't drag your feet. Take your feet on down to Vandermark Jewelers. You'll get all kinds of great deals down there. Jim and Bob have a lot of great ideas for you as well. Don't be left out in the cold. Make sure you head on down to Vandermark Jewelers, a trusted name in jewelry on Broad Street here in downtown Elyria, right across from the hospital. Dave, how are you, my friend?
Super busy, Bull. That's the nature of the business around here.
In the news business, busy is good.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's a lot better than the alternative. No question about that. I want to start with an order of business that you and I briefly discussed before coming on the air. You had tweeted something a few hours ago about the Elyria Planning Commission approving conditional use permits for a second medical marijuana dispensary here in Elyria. The next step for a $1.5 million Cleveland Street facility.
That's AFS over at 603 Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. $1.5 million investment in that property. Obviously not open yet, but it's one of two. The city of Elyria, one of the two permits the city of Elyria has, and one of three in Lorain County. So they're looking at 10 to 25 jobs to be created. Employees making between $30,000 and $70,000, basically. So you're going to see a little boost in income tax there, assuming that they open. And they were talking about security, and they were talking about, packaging and talking about all that kinds of stuff this morning. So, Planning Commission said, hey, conditional use approved. And they'll still have to go through, jump through some hoops that council has and also go through a public hearing like the one that's coming up for the clubhouse, which is the one that we talked about a couple weeks ago. So we'll see how it goes. But that's another step in the direction for those folks.
You talked about the clubhouse. Do we know how long it'll be before they open their doors
Still not clear to me. Sure. But I'll mention that for the story that I'm writing tomorrow that they're on their way. And they do have some employees who are in and kind of prepping to get ready and everything. But once this public hearing gets done, I believe that's next week.
Okay,
is the public hearing? I probably shouldn't say because I can't remember exactly what night, but it is next week, and I believe maybe Tuesday, and so we'll see if anybody out in the public has anything they want to say or anything in objection or in favor of. And after that, the ball will continue rolling until their grand opening.
We haven't heard much, I don't think, yet of people coming out in opposition or anything. But has there been any kind of feeling out? I know there was a story in Cleveland where a young child, 9 years old, took edibles into the classroom. They were gummy bears, and apparently a few kids got a hold of them. Is there a fear that might kind of slow things down or no?
Well, the thing about the Ohio law, the way it's written, is that those aren't allowed. I mean, this is very particularly, it's very particular for right now. It's flour.
Gotcha. So those wouldn't have been purchased.
You're going to be baking stuff,
stores.
So you're not going to be buying, marijuana gummy bears.
I see.
At these locations. And one of the gentlemen who was up in front of planning this morning said, yeah, like we're not going to be selling that kind of stuff. So he said, I think folks would tend to agree. Responsible folks tend to agree that like if you're a parent who has that kind of stuff, like keep it away from your kids.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we used to run commercials for that kind of stuff, right? Keeping things away from those who shouldn't get their hands on it, very simply put. On to some other orders of business. You wrote an article this morning about the law director here at Elyria, Scott Sarazen, not seeking re-election. Why is that, and who might be in line to take his place?
Well, Scott told me last night he turns 67 in March, so around general retirement age, but he said he hadn't made any plans for retirement, saying you probably shouldn't plan for that kind of thing, not knowing what's gonna go down. But he threw his weight behind Amanda Deary, who is his chief of staff, who has pulled and filed petitions to run. She filed today, so I'm gonna be talking with her in a bit, and she sent us some information. So read your Chronicle tomorrow for more on that. But Scott basically said, for over the last 38 years, I've had a bunch of public service time and was even mayor for a day, due to a kind of a crazy piece of the charter you know, after a resignation and some other issues, and then he said he was glad to hand those keys off to somebody else when he was done with that 24 hours as mayor. But he was people on council, you know, applauded him, and the folks in the gallery applauded him, and they said that they appreciated his work and his help. So what's up next for him? I can't really say. He was kind of tight-lipped about that, but you know, congratulations to him, and you know, wish him the best. He'll still be around for a little while, you know, until the next law director sworn in. So we don't have a crowded field in that one. One other person has pulled petitions, and like I said, Ms. Deary has filed as of today. So we'll see how that goes in May.
He has a pretty interesting history. I mean, you detailed that in your article this morning, but I thought that was really fascinating. What really stood out was the story you told about how he was mayor for, what, about 24 hours?
It was about 24 hours.
So how did this happen? Yeah. How did that go down?
It was. It had something to do with there was a sick time calculation in the city charter, if memory serves. and it was calculated such that there was going to be about a 24-hour period where the mayor was leaving, the safety service director was leaving. So those are your kind of number one, number two. So by charter, it falls to the law director to take over in case those two are absent or on vacation or otherwise indisposed. And he said he had that 24-hour period where it was Mayor Scott Sarazen, and then handed off the keys to somebody else. So that was an odd thing in the charter that caused that to happen.
I feel like I'd sign everything, Mayor Matt Douglas, if that happened to me.
See, you got to take advantage of that because you never know when that opportunity is going to arise again, right? Got to take advantage
of that. Just don't order too many business cards.
That's a good point.
Yeah, probably want to steer clear of that. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on our local beat, brought to you by Vandemar Jewelers. What a really interesting story as well about Elyria High Schooler. Correct me if I'm saying this name incorrectly. Is it Zaria Emerson?
Zaria Emerson, yeah.
I mean, she was very impressed. I mean, what is she doing here exactly to impress the logo designers? I mean, you did a nice job of detailing some of her work, and it's the whole Ninjago thing. She got really behind that as well. Some really cool stuff here.
I would definitely label her a Lego super fan. I think that she knows more about the show. There's a show, and then there was also a Lego Ninjago movie, and all about the characters and everything. She knows way more than I will ever be able to learn. Definitely a super fan. Was wearing Lego a Lego hoodie and some other Lego stuff. And her artwork is fantastic. Let me tell you, I feel very comfortable saying that she does a great job. She sent something like a 100-page booklet of all her she wrote her own episodes for the show, and she drew all these characters, and she melded some of the characters together to create a new character here and there, and sent that all off to Lego folks, and they responded with letters on Lego stationery, a handwritten note, and a bunch of Legos. So they sent her stuff. And the Ninjago temple, it's kind of an Eastern Asian themed thing with teenage ninjas. Which is the short version of what Lego Ninjago is. Still hurts when you step on them in the middle of the night, if you've got kids who play with them. But no, she's all over Lego Ninjago, and they responded to her letters and the stuff she sent. And she's got a surprise coming up in a couple weeks, couple months. They're going to send her something else. We'll see what it is. We'll keep you posted on that story. But she was an absolute delight to talk to. Incredibly, incredibly smart, incredibly talented. Good for her.
That's pretty cool. So it's beyond just the building of the thing. She's writing scripts and making new movies.
Designing it using her 3D animation skills and her drawing skills. And her mom wants to get her over to LCCC, with their Fab Lab and working in maker spaces and doing all these, doing all this kind of stuff. She's an artist. She loves horses. She was Miss Congeniality at the Apple Festival the other year. Just a really... really, really sweet person, fun to talk to. I really appreciated them that they took the time to talk to me. So.
I thought it was cool, too, how you detailed the story talking about the evolution of her as an artist. I mean, you mentioned in there this all began when she started putting stick figures together, right?
She was drawing stick figures to begin with, and then her mom said that around, seventh, eighth grade in middle school, started taking some art classes, and it blew up from there. I mean, she was... she was going and drawing all this stuff, and you know, and taking taking inspiration from the show and from the Legos, you know, from the blocks themselves, and taking inspiration from the movie and putting this all together. And I think good on Lego as well for responding to her. You know, it's like here's somebody who, you know, from Elyria, another really neat Elyria story, a local person, you know, who has done something really, really kind of cool. So I had a lot of fun writing that story.
Absolutely. Well, and one other thing I want to hit on before we get to the scanner stories. You know, you wrote a story last week, which I thought certainly was eye-opening in a very good way for those in the area about the Elyria tax revenue being up 7.18%. It's obviously great. And I think the next question that comes to mind here is, how do you sustain this? Now, you answered part of that question when we were on the topic of medical marijuana as well. I mean, very clearly right now, as you detailed in the article last week, you know, some of this has to do with some of the projects, you know, the building of the new schools and a number of other different projects as well. But, you know, I guess the other question is, how do you sustain this?
Well, I think I asked that question too of our finance director here in Elyria, Ted Pileski, and he said, you know, I'm not going to go out on a limb and predict or project that we're going to do another 7.18% next year. But that being said, you have new schools going up. So all those construction workers, all those project managers, you know, the guys trucking stuff in, trucking stuff out, all the folks who are working on those, the architects, everybody, you know, who has a hand in this is going to be paying, you know, a portion of their income taxes to the city of Elyria because that's where the work is being done. So I think you're going to see another boost over the next couple of years, and who knows if it's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5%. Who can say? You know, you can only project or predict, and you know, we know sometimes how that works with the weather. So I think, you know, it's a good thing. I mean, when you're when your income jumps, breaks $21 million. You know, coming into the, you know, into the general fund after falling and failing to hit $20 million the previous year, you know, it's good to see that income tax revenue is up. The mayor was super excited. Mayor Holly Brenda was super excited about all that, and I thought it would be of interest to the people who are reading that they had, you know, much better receipts. So a lot of that has to do with the stadium as well. So you have the new stadium, gorgeous facility, mm-hmm. Built where you're going to have people coming into town. You're going to have other teams, you know, spending money here, buying gas, you know, buying food, that kind of thing. Seeing, you know, this crown jewel of Elyria Athletics, but also that contributed very heavily to this increase. You know, and Ted was pretty quick to share that information with me. And I think as that goes on and down the line, you know, as the schools get better, so goes a city. You know, the more people that are interested in sending their kids here, that want to move here, you know, good schools, you know, good facilities, you know, all the, you know, Elyria Robotics going to Google headquarters and going to the worlds and, you know, and doing all these fantastic things in the schools, that definitely affects the bottom line of the city. You know, and not all of it, but it also, you know, more housing starts. I'll have a story real soon about a new development going in. So, again, stay tuned. It's you know, it's a good thing. I think that's a positive for the city, and we'll see how it goes.
Nice little teaser towards the end, my friend. I like the way you did that.
You're very welcome.
I like the way you did that. All right. Well, before we let you go, we've got to ask you about your scanner stories for the week. Now, last week, I think we had you on right before the peak of the polar vortex. And when people are trapped inside, some funny things tend to happen.
And unfortunately, they didn't.
Wow.
So I did grab a couple more from areas in and around Lorain County. And I'll give them to you real quick. February 3rd, North Olmsted. Motor vehicle accident or an MVA in police or, you know, sometimes reporter parlance. Car versus lawn chair. Apparently the chair was out in the street and the car ran full speed into it.
Who won that battle? Yeah.
Car won. Uh-huh. Or
I fought the car and the car won.
Dateline Bainbridge. Man in his late 20s hit in the head with a beer can.
Oh, oof.
At the Greenville Inn, also on February 3rd. And then finally on February 2nd, State Highway Patrol pursuit, a vehicle with what appears to be a body wrapped in a carpet and the legs hanging out the window into Sheffield on Interstate 90. Finally stopped. Turned out it was a mannequin.
Oh, well, that's good at least.
Which is good. We didn't have to write another story about a found body. So we appreciate that.
Seems like a risky move. If I'm gonna take a mannequin with me, I'm probably not wrapping it up in a carpet and letting its legs hang out the window.
Might want to take that apart and put it in the trunk, man.
Something a little different than what they did. Yeah. It should be a lesson to everyone who's transporting mannequins, right?
Absolutely.
Right. That's right. If you are transporting mannequins, you might want to stuff them away and make sure they're tucked in. You want to leave them out in the open.
Definitely don't wrap them in a rug.
Be careful when you're doing so, yes.
Yeah. Dave, a pleasure as always, my friend. Always enjoy the time. Always enjoy the stories. And we'll be looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Hey, have a good afternoon, gents. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave, again. Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us here on the Local Beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Pay Jim and Bob and the gang a visit to Vandermark Jewelers. It's on Broad Street here in Elyria, right across from the hospital. A trusted name in jewelry. And if you're going jewelry shopping this weekend, this is the final weekend to get that gift before Valentine's Day, you need to get out there and you need to pay them a visit this weekend. They're going to be open on Saturday, so head on down to Vandermark Jewelers and take a look at all those Valentine gift ideas. They've got plenty.